You're listening to DraftKings Network.
On April 26th, Boy Kills World. The must-see action movie event of the year hits theaters.
Yes! The Vanderkoys killed my family. Now, I'm gonna kill them one by one.
Critics are calling it Looney Tunes on acid.
You know how hard it is to get a cereal company to sponsor mass murder?
Weapons. Danger. Let's do this.
Bill Skarsgård in Boy Kills World. Only in theaters April 26th. Rated R.
This is the Dan Le Batar Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
You guys listening to this coverage of them landing? They're like popping champagne bottles right now.
100,000 people tested positive for the Delta variant while they were doing it.
I don't know that that's a fact.
I don't, Billy. You're right.
And probably one of them did, too.
Imagine being that rich and just having so many people around you just pumping you up the whole time.
Imagine launching a rocket into space during a pandemic where hundreds of thousands of people are suffering every second.
Imagine doing that twice.
Imagine not having to pay your taxes so you could just spend all your money on buying a rocket ship and going to space.
Or a basketball team.
All right, I'll bite.
Imagine if we could teleport.
Imagine being at home, realizing you forgot deodorant at the supermarket and being, it's just okay, I'll go to my phone and it'll be here tomorrow. Like, really? We're gonna do this with Jeff Bezos? Yes. Yes, he's rich. Yes, all those things that you said are true. But also, he's made our lives so much better. He's made our lives during the pandemic so much better. I don't want to be accused of caping up for Jeff Bezos, but open your eyes.
Imagine
you
dragons.
You can do all those things and pay your taxes.
That is fair.
You can invent Amazon. You can invent Amazon Web Services. You can make things that people use and like and spend money on. But, dude, like, read the room. People are suffering.
Jessica, did you watch Fleabag?
Yes.
It was great, wasn't it?
Yes.
Thank you, Jeff Bezos.
It's just call Amazon what it is, a failed bookstore, right? Like that had to pivot and start selling trinkets to get by, and it took off. But Amazon wasn't what it was supposed to be, a bookstore. Let's start selling deodorant. Let's start selling batteries. Let's start selling CDs. It's a failed bookstore.
They're killing the bookstore game, Billy. I subscribe to Audible, which is owned by Amazon. I'm reading so many books right now.
You're reading zero books.
Also killing their warehouse workers.
There is all of this. It makes everything very complicated. I think, though, Mike has been vindicated on audiobooks being actual reading. Science has revealed to us that the brain is used the same way listening to an audiobook than it is to reading from a book. So science would agree with Mike Ryan yesterday's argument. Greg Cody, as someone who is a writer, do you believe listening to an audiobook is reading?
It feels like cheating. It is reading, but it's, you know, to me, I'm old school. You have to have the book in your hand for it to be grade A reading. That's the way I feel.
I trust the science of our audience more, and yesterday's poll came back. Does listening to an audiobook count as reading? 54% of the audience said no. I think that's more scientific.
There you go. That's close enough to a split. And there's a lot of dumb people in our audience, so I'm going to go with that.
What?
And look at this book. Whoa. I'm holding my book right now. You see it?
That ain't a book,
iPhone.
Mike.
Yeah, no, it's
that ain't
my book.
A book. No, it's an iPhone.
No, I'll talk to you and read a book by James Saylor at the same time.
If my brain, the same function is used to poop and run, and I run, can I say that I pooped? Because the same part of my brain is used for both?
You could, but they're not, so you can't.
I don't know.
Okay, that's the ultimate argument ender right there. That's my dad's move.
What do you do with that?
I've been dealing with that my entire life. That's the way my dad argues. You give him a set of facts and he ends it with, I don't know about that. And there's nowhere to go.
Yep.
That's the end. That is the end
of
the discussion.
You got to question the facts,
Dan.
Do you guys know what part of the brain is used for everything? I don't. I'll look it up.
Okay, put it on the poll while you're at it. At Le Batard Show, do you use the same part of your brain when running as when pooping? At Le Batard Show, we will let the audience decide on that one. We can't agree on what science is. You guys saw yesterday, this leads me to sports and some Fox stuff. that is tied in, because Skip Bayless and Shannon Sharp were trending yesterday because they started their show killing Space Jam instead of about the NBA Finals, and they did that on purpose because that network does anything for ratings, except it snuck up and bit him in the ass last night when Hannity's out there on Fox, and he is saying, and this is a huge pivot, he is saying that everybody out there take COVID very seriously. Now, he's not even going the next step and saying get vaccinated. He won't do that. He's just take COVID very seriously. It's important now. And it was just so obvious, tied to the Dow falling and the lawyers getting in his ear like, oh, wait a minute. You guys are just doing all of this. You guys are doing all of this with dishonest profit grabbing. And now the lawyers got in your ear and Hannity's going the other way on this when people are dying. And clearly now, I mean, that seemed obvious yesterday. It was such an obvious pivot. You got to take the mask off. And again, still, he's getting applauded for pivoting away from the network, but he is not actually saying get vaccinated. He's saying take COVID seriously. That's what passes for applause when we live in these bubbles now.
He did tell his audience that he believes in vaccination science. Yeah. Alluding to the fact that he himself is vaccinated, and that is some sort of endorsement. But yes, he didn't go out and say, hey, you watching me, 1 in 5 Americans believe there are microchips in this vaccine. That's a bit absurd. Get vaccinated. Otherwise, we're going to shut everything down. And now the capitalists are scared because the Dow tanked because Delta variant is very serious.
I couldn't tell. I honestly, and this is where we are with this stuff, I honestly couldn't tell whether that overt of a pivot that's going to be lost on that audience was because of the money or the lawyers, because it represented such, because now you've got
a little bit of both, probably.
You've got some liability stuff because they've been irresponsible. Like, you used to say what you will about television. I know it's where Flavor Flav's date pooped on the doorsteps as the lowest moment of entertainment, but television used to be some kind of responsible. Like, there was the burden of responsibility of not fooling, you know, some of the people all of the time by creating, like, that's just hugely irresponsible, and people have died. Now there's a liability problem that the Murdochs, as much money as the Murdochs got, like, they don't want those problems.
It's always been a bit irresponsible, though, right? Like, Brian Williams was lying to people for many, many years.
Yes, but it's not like this, Stugatz. That's a totally different thing. That's a credibility issue, and the reason it was so offensive, Stugatz, and the reason you know about it is because there was a standard there for what the truth was supposed to be. These are totally different spheres.
I can totally understand your point, though, about the lawyers getting involved, because they got involved on the Dominion voting systems thing. All of a sudden, Dominion threw out like a $1 trillion lawsuit, and Lou Dobbs is reading a statement on television, doesn't have a show anymore. So the lawyers could absolutely get involved. It's also, the Murdochs occasionally have crises of conscience, where they go, oh, hang on a second, this is getting bad. We need to control our outlets and tell people to get vaccinated. So, like, there's a few things that could be at play there.
Let's bring it through sports, because yesterday there were two things like this. You guys saw Megyn Kelly is going back and forth with Naomi Osaka, and Naomi Osaka blocked her, and Megyn Kelly is now sort of saying, yeah, the mental illness stuff, whatever, but what about all those magazine covers you've done since then? And Naomi is saying, look, those were done before any of this stuff came out. These things take months and months. You should know that as a journalist. And what I'm asking you, because I know this is the silly playpen, but it's been rewarded, right? Skip Bayless. The big move was going to be pairing Stephen A. Smith with Skip Bayless again after everything that's happened in sports and the country and everything else. Let's do argument television like the good old days. White guy against a black guy. You guys just make up the argument, see if we can get some ratings. Shannon Sharp and Skip Bayless started their show yesterday ignoring the finals and one of the great finals games, followed by, you know, it's not just one of the great finals games, but you guys got these guys scoring 40 points a game doing the LeBron stuff.
Yes.
And he's going after LeBron again with Space Jam, and it's so much smaller. It's the playpen, right? It's just a joke, but it's the seed that's fertilized throughout that network. It doesn't matter how you get to the ratings. Just get eyes on this. Doesn't matter what you say, doesn't matter what's happening in the country, doesn't matter your morality, doesn't, nothing matters other, can we get, Skip, can you say the things that will get people clucking? Just go after LeBron, even though at this point it's just total overt shtick.
Right, but it gets ratings, doesn't it? Like, it gives them the best chance to get
ratings.
Dan, I understand
they're
it makes
modest
you uncomfortable.
Ratings, though. No, but it's just modest. You say, does it get ratings? Nothing's getting ratings these days. All these things are dying. You're talking about a few hundred thousand people. It's not very many people. It's not moving any kind of needle. It's just going viral so that Fox can have a couple of personalities that get some attention.
I'm just saying, it's Skip's job, Skip in particular, on that show to draw viewers, to draw ratings, and he's desperate, and he's doing whatever he needs to do to get any sort of pop, right? And so he kind of knows what's going to get a pop and what's not, and so when you're that desperate, Dan, and no one's watching your network, you do those kind of things. It's kind of benign in the grand scheme of things,
course
isn't
it's,
it?
Of course it's benign. Of course, compared to the other stuff I'm talking about, it's silly. But it's been a plague that's been rewarded in sports television and sports journalism in a way that's totally contaminated it after 20 years, where First Take goes from your clearly worst show to the one that you're supporting and going after Skip Bayless on as you try to evolve. Because argument television is where it's at. And Skip Bayless and Stephen A. Smith were journalists. Like, I sound like the fuddy-duddy on this one, right?
You do, because you do have one of the largest sports platforms in America. You often lament people with arguably smaller platforms driving the discussion when the Bucks can win their first NBA championship in, like, 50 years. And we started with Chris Cody going to SeaWorld.
Yeah.
I'm a hypocrite. I'm a hippo-crit.
You said it.
Yes.
And we also did the Music Dome to start the day after the Super Bowl.
You went an entire show without talking about the Super Bowl.
But that's to mock the idea of just grabbing for ratings.
You don't think that they're mocking when they're starting with Space Jam, or do you feel they felt passionately about this?
So I got fooled?
Yeah. By Skip.
They're playing the game.
They're playing our game.
Damn right.
Better.
I don't know. Skip is. As a singular entity, he is. He doesn't have to share. Certainly not with Shannon, from the reports I've read.
Skip and his wife were at Lil Wayne's house for the 4th of July. Is that weird to anybody else that they're like that close? And that, like, is Skip Lil Wayne's mentor? Is that a possibility?
I saw Travis Scott with Rob Manfred. I don't know how
what?
That was. Was I fooled by the internet again? Was this?
I hope so.
Was this something that? Oh, look at this! I surprised everyone in the room. Is this an old photo? Is it a real photo? Or is it me being? This is a prime moment where, if you guys haven't heard of, this is what always scares me. When the entire room doesn't know what I'm talking about, it makes me feel like, oh, wait a minute, the internet must have fooled me.
No, I'm looking at an MLB tweet right now from July 19th that says, oh no, from 9 hours ago, Rob Manfred hanging out with Travis Scott, eyeball emoji.
Yeah, it was Travis Scott's Instagram story, a selfie.
Two biggest supporters of the Astros.
They were in the same club? Were they clubbing? Were Travis? I did not have Travis Scott.
This ceiling does look like
Rob Manfred in a club.
It's red light.
I was going to say Travis Scott's not the weird one here in the club.
There's red light all over the place. There's right. So the photo is real. It was not me being fooled by the internet. Does it look like they're in a club? Yes or no?
They could be in like Mykonos.
That is an odd pairing. We would agree. At Levitard Show, put it on the poll, Guillermo. At Levitard Show. Did you ever imagine that Travis Scott and Rob Manfred would be photographed looking like they were together in the neon of a club?
It does look like the ceiling at Scarlett's.
Yes. It does, yeah.
Wow.
It does.
Now, that would be a story.
You just need a robot guy walking behind him.
I know that ceiling.
The joy that just went across the face of Chris Cody when the Scarlett's got mentioned. He's like, my wheels. He slid right in here. Stugatz got right in next to you. You want to give all the details of Scarlett's? That's where Stugatz famously poured gasoline on himself after leaving so his wife wouldn't think that he smelled like the strip club.
That was on the way home. Thank you for pointing that out. I didn't do it before I got to the strip club. But that is a key. When you're married and you go to a strip club, what you do is douse yourself in gasoline on the way home.
So bad.
I mean, the Scarlett smells, Dan.
It's so ridiculous. It is so absurd.
Scarlett's is honestly too loud for me. It's like a nightclub in there.
What's this robot you speak of?
Well, I've heard that on like a weekend night, like at one point in the night, they'll just have this like robot. It's like a person walking on like stilts, but they have like a bunch of air guns that they're blowing at everybody and like people are dancing. So I've heard.
Wait a minute. Please do me the good God. Limited fake Scarlett's robot blowing air. Getting like... just smoke. It's just smoke.
It's just like, yeah, and it shoots it at people, and people love it. They stand up and they're like, ah, I can't be with your smoke.
Is it as big as the Jay Glazer Fox robot?
It's skinnier, but just as tall.
Is it naked?
No.
Well, robots are naked, aren't they?
Nude robot.
It's like a person. I don't know what it is. It's like a person walking on stilts, but it has the look like they're wearing like a robot head.
This is a great question. Put this on the poll, Guillermo. Are robots naked? Because that's not the question Billy was asking. Billy was asking whether it was a stripping robot, correct? Or were you just asking whether robots wear clothes?
Can you see the nuts and bolts?
Wait. You've never seen these robots before? You've gotten a lot of functions.
A stripping robot?
I saw once a brew at the zoo that was one of these robots. It's like you'll see them occasionally at a rich person's quince.
Yeah.
I have never seen one of these robots. I do want to hear, though, from Limited Fake Robot just one more time, because it sounds very cool, because Jay Glazer's robot doesn't blow smoke, does it?
This one's more like...
Jay Glazer's the one blowing smoke.
Two guys here for my friends over at Simply Safe. Springtime is all about fresh air, fresh starts, and freshly cleaned homes, and it's the perfect time to give a fresh look at Simply Safe Home Security, the only home security system I use and recommend. I've had it in my home for many, many years. I love it. Springtime to me, we love to travel, and I love the fact that no matter where I am in the world, I can keep an eye on my home thanks to Simply Safe Home Security. Simply Safe blankets your whole home in protection. It has sensors to detect break-ins, fires, floods, and more, plus a variety of indoor and outdoor cameras to keep watch over your property day and night. It's backed by 24/7 professional monitoring for less than $1 a day. Simply Safe has given me and many of my listeners real peace of mind. I want you to have it too. Get 20% off your system today when you sign up for Fast Protect Monitoring at simplysafe.com/DLB. That's simplysafe.com/DLB. There's no safe like Simply Safe.
Don Levitard.
Again, started on the breakfast flan.
Oh, man. I've been singing a song to myself all morning long. What? Breakfast flan. Da-na-na-na.
Stugatz.
You never heard the breakfast flan song?
No, hit me with it.
Okay. I wish I had some breakfast flan. Breakfast flan. Where can I find a breakfast like that?
This is the Don Levitard Show with the Stugatz.
Juju mentioned to Stugatz a compliment, said that Stupidity has been on fire recently. Robin Lopez was on Stupidity. You can check that out now. Did you ask him any questions about the Lopez brothers owning homes or a home in Disney World?
It's all I asked him about. Maybe a question or two about Brooke and what he was going to do if he won an NBA title. He said he's never going to let me hear the end of it, pretty much. And then we got right to Disney World. And I didn't know that, right? I had no idea. Thank you to Chris Cody, because he made the episode. He told me right before I left that Robin and Brooke Lopez own a house inside of Disney World, which is fascinating. I told Greg this morning, and he couldn't believe it.
They are some of the few, correct? They're the only athletes I know who I've read that about, that they own. What did he tell you about the home? Well, you could find out on Stupidity, where Stugatz interviews Robin Lopez, and Brooke Lopez might be a champion tonight. Brooke Lopez, I've told this story many times, Stugatz. Brooke Lopez, over many years, was offered to the Miami Heat every year at the trade deadline by somebody. And every year was sort of like an annual running joke of no thank you. And now the Bucks find themselves on the cusp of a title. And I want to ask you guys, Stugatz, you who loves ripping the legacies of people, and if Chris Paul somehow loses tonight, he will be a lesser player in your mind than if they won the next two games. But
he could also be a greater player in my mind, Dan, if he goes out and gives you 45 points.
No, he can't. Done that a couple of times already, and you reverted right back. Game three next season, if he wins the championship, you're going to do it to him again. But the thing I wanted to ask all of you guys is, before this season started, we would have said, this is a one-man team. Giannis will win the championship only if Giannis is the MVP. And you have seen in this series, and before this series started, Giannis just told you, Middleton's our closer.
Yep.
And you have seen in the last game, the reason they won, a critical game five on the road. The game you got to have got if you want to win that series.
Must win.
You win that on the road, and the ones doing it for you are Drew Holiday and Middleton, and they become the first three teammates ever to score more than 27 points in a game. They shot super efficiently. They needed all of it in order to beat Phoenix. And I ask you this question. What are they going to be legacy regarded as? Are we going to go back and say Giannis won that one by himself the way we did for Kawhi because we elevated Pascal Siakam?
Right.
And then a year later, he's done again and being traded and not happy there. We elevated for a moment that guy. Are Drew Holiday and Middleton now going to be elevated to a place that you're going to think of them as championship players? Or is this one of these one-man championships like the one Kawhi got?
Well, first off, with Giannis, he's averaging 32 points a game. He's averaging 13 rebounds a game. Like, Giannis is always there, Dan. He's there every single night. Middleton's been up and down. Even Drew Holiday on the offensive side is up and down. But yes, of course, winning an NBA title is going to elevate Middleton the most. Like, to me, that's the guy that gets elevated the most. It's Giannis's team. He's the one. And if they keep winning championships together, Middleton becomes like Scottie Pippen.
No, come on.
Yes,
Stugatz.
He does. Dan, he's had monster games throughout this run. He really has.
If they win how many championships together?
I mean, I told you a while ago that you better win your championships now because Giannis is coming for all of them. And he's coming for all of them. And Middleton is the number two on that team. Why would he not be Scottie Pippen if indeed Giannis wins five or six titles? I don't know.
Giannis is going to be elevated the most, and this is the most important to Giannis's legacy after you consider what happened in the previous two postseasons when it was Giannis who took all the heat for sort of disappearing, for underachieving, and now he's had a good finals. He's going to be the one who's elevated the most here.
Mike, why are you rolling your eyes
Pippen,
at Stugatz?
Pippen. Talking about a two-time All-Star, a guy that's never had All-NBA honors. He's going to be 30 in a couple of weeks. Like, he's pretty – we know what Chris Middleton is. He is never going to become Scottie Pippen.
Mike, he hasn't played – he's had amazing games here in the postseason.
Don't push back. You can't.
No, no, no.
He
no,
said
no.
that Mike, as a flyby. It's so
Mike,
absurd.
Mike,
no,
I
no,
let
no.
it go.
It's not
Mike,
absurd.
Mike,
hold on a second.
I moved – hold on. You hold on for a second. I moved on just because I didn't want to get stuck in this particular stupid quicksand, prisoner of the moment. The guy had two good games. And now he's Scottie Pippen, one of the top 50 players of all time. If they win the next two games.
That's a big
if they don't win, or if they win one of the next two games.
He's a choker.
That's right. Yeah. So I don't want to do that again. I don't. I was
just
trying.
He just says things, and there's no consequence.
But I didn't want.
He's averaging 25 points per game.
He's a good player.
Finals.
He's not Scottie Pippen.
Complimentary player.
Do you think Scottie Pippen averaged 25 points per game in any one of the NBA finals?
He's a defensive superstar. He's one of the greatest defensive players we've ever seen. He's made All-NBA several times. Chris Middleton has never been that. He's a two-time All-Star. He's had a really nice career. He's probably a couple years away from retirement. He's a fully formed NBA player. He has been this guy for five seasons.
When you look back at this Bucks team, you'll say, okay, what got better? Who improved?
Drew Holiday came over is what
Drew Holiday
that
helped.
Was big.
Right. Drew Holiday absolutely helped. But Chris Middleton taking a next step absolutely has helped
this
team.
This
Are
is
you
the
guys
stuff,
kidding me?
This is the stuff you buy yourself when you get into the third round in the finals. You get this. This is how these things become things. Is somebody will rush to your side and say, look at Drew Holiday. He made him a champion. But again, I will remind you, Pascal Siakam. We were trying to do this with him, and then 2 years later, we're talking about nobody. He doesn't like anybody in the locker room and Orlando. Like, I'm guessing, Stugatz, you could have said from there. You could have started making an argument. If Kawhi Leonard wins the next six championships in Toronto, Pascal Siakam will be Scottie Pippen, because you can do that with any second player. But the thing that I want to ask you about Drew Holiday, because what I saw in this last game that I thought was impressive – and there were a lot of things in the last game that I thought were impressive, was Devin Booker three different times trying to back into, like a point guard does because they can handle the ball, Drew Holiday, and Drew Holiday being so obviously strong, physically strong, that he wasn't backing up at all, and then he just stole the ball from Devin Booker, and then he made a three in his face. Like, that's the stuff. You were here yesterday saying that the reason, Chris Paul, that you're going to be able to identify him as a choker is because of Drew Holiday's defense. But this is how all of these people get in these historic conversations.
By winning.
By being on the television. It's not even by winning, Stu. That's because Chris Paul has been winning, and you haven't been giving him any credit.
He hasn't won a title, Dan.
I know, but if he wins the next two, he's
I'll give him credit.
Stugatz, you didn't when he won when he scored 70 in two games. You didn't
give
him any credit.
That's not winning a title, though.
Stugatz, last
three games, he's been dreadful. He hasn't been Chris Paul.
He's
been an all-time great.
It's the last two games that he's been dreadful.
And if he's an all-time great, he'll go out on the road tonight, and he will get them back home for Game 7. Devin Booker can handle it from there. But tonight, it has to be Chris Paul on the road, big spot. Give me 40 points, 15 assists.
And then do it again in Game 7.
No, I said Devin Booker could do it for him in Game 7. He's getting up there in age. That's what I said. Give him a pass. I mean, it's very nice of me.
That's what I love about sports, and that's the nature of sports. Everything changes based on two results. If Phoenix wins two in a row, all of a sudden it's, CP3, legacy is made. And it's Devin Booker, potential superstar, and we're refashioning the whole argument.
Greg, three games ago, there was an article on ESPN.com that every team needs a Jay Crowder. He has been dreadful for the last three games. I mean, this is what we do. I mean, we're up 2-0.
Right, and likewise, if the Bucks lose two in a row, here we go again with Giannis. Another failure in the postseason.
By age 30, he was a four-time All-NBA player, two-time All-NBA first team.
Why are you getting dragged into this
muck? He was a champion five times
over. Why are you doing this? Why are you allowing him to do this?
Because I'm looking at career highlights and awards, and I'm doing like the reverse engineering on the math, and all the career highlights for Chris Middleton is he was all Big 12 once, and he's a two-time NBA All-Star.
He's one of the top 50 players ever because he's had a couple of games. And he'll kill him tonight if he goes 10 for 34.
I don't want this because Middleton's going to have like 30 points tonight, and they're going to win the championship, and everybody's going to see Scottie Pippen. He's Scottie Pippen. Sugats was right. Just,
25 a game in the finals. I mean,
what did Scottie do without Michael? He had that one season he got benched. Couldn't even take the last shot.
Exactly.
You know?
Yep.
Now he sells bourbon.
Mm-hmm. What did Chris Middleton do without Giannis Antetokounmpo?
Beat the Heat.
Mm-hmm.
In one playoff game last year?
The one game, Dan. In the gentleman sweep where Chris Middleton balled out. Yeah. He did hit a game winner against the Heat this year in game one that went to overtime. It was a dagger. It was a series dagger right then and there. It was series over.
You know what?
He owns us.
I think we should just stop right here, and the end of this segment should be the Lebatard Show does indeed endorse that Chris Middleton is every bit as good as Scottie Pippen.
Better.
Mm-mm. Not before he pays up his fine from that cough in the microphone.
Yes, $5, Stugatz. Yes, you did it. Oh, yes, you did it. Thank you.
Greg said 23 of them. He hasn't paid
a cent. That's right. That's right. White privilege. What?
Have you seen the officials for tonight's game? Scott Foster.
No.
Eric Chris Lewis. Paul never wins.
No.
Chris Paul. No. 0 for 12 in his last 12 attempts against
Scott
Foster.
Will he get any credit? If he wins tonight, goes on the road, scores 45 and beats Scott Foster.
This is the hurdle.
Will Stugatz have to, what is the standard have to be for us to rope in Stugatz right now on he will publicly apologize for not need game seven because he said Devin Booker
apologize
can have that
for
one.
Once.
Publicly apologize. Wait, so you're not going to apologize? You're not even going to give me this that there's a point total or something that can happen tonight.
Give you this. There is a scenario in which I will put him into my top five point guards of all time. Okay.
I think you should have a press conference with an apology tomorrow. If what? If Paul hits a game winner. If Chris Paul hits a game winner.
Is the game winner his 44th and 45th point?
That's the standard.
Yes.
Okay, so why can't it just be a game winner? Because he won an elimination game for the championship.
But game winners are different. Is it, you know, a game winner where he has reached 9 points or a game winner where he's at 27 points?
So it's different. It doesn't have to be just a big moment. It has to be, he has to be thoroughly dominant, best player on the floor all night, and then they have to win on the road for you to consider it.
30 points, north of 10 assists, a game winner, and he beat Scott Foster, I will put him into game 7.
That's the standard.
Okay.
All right, fine. Right.
Yeah. But Booker can win game 7, Dan, just so we're clear.
So you will apologize. Yes. Can I negotiate?
If Booker wins game 7, I'll apologize to Chris Paul. Yes.
No, I'm not going to keep. I can't believe. Mike, I'm mad at you now. Mike, you ruined the show. Yeah, because look at how slippery he was. He's not giving us.
Asked me.
I asked you, but you didn't answer. You kept changing.
You said who's going to benefit the most if the Bucks win a title. It's my belief that Chris Middleton will be the one that benefits the most. Greg said Giannis.
That's not the question I was asking.
I thought it was.
I was not asking you that question. Greg Cody took that there. I was asking you what happens when you take a second and a third guy, and is it going to be Giannis's championship or is it going to be everybody's? Because we gave Toronto's to Kawhi and only to Kawhi.
Right, but when the Bulls finally won,
we gave the Dallas championship to Dirk and only Dirk.
It's going
to
be Giannis's championship. Greg is right, and it should be. But when the Bulls won, it was Michael's championship. It wasn't the Bulls finally won the championship. It was Michael finally got past the Pistons.
I don't think anyone on Toronto got anything. Like, Kyle Lowry's big prize was congratulations. Here's a parade celebrating the fact that you're not one of the worst playoff performers of all time. It was all Kawhi.
Giannis isn't going to get that, right?
I mean, if he has a moment today, I'm sure he's probably the series MVP. No,
I mean he has to be. Yeah. Right,
32 points.
Stephen A. Smith is arguing on behalf of Middleton, on behalf of Stugatz's beloved Middleton.
They do have a weird dynamic because Scotty wouldn't be closing games with Michael on the floor, but I mean Giannis is not Michael. It's more Shaq, Kobe. The great Amin al-Hassan said that once.
I mean, 32 points, 13 rebounds, 6 assists, over a block a game, over a steal a game.
That's huge.
It's incredible what he's doing. No one really seems to be paying attention.
Yeah, he's, if anything, Giannis is being underappreciated in this series because Middleton's having a nice series, because everybody recognizes Jrue Holiday is the difference, the big addition to this team. Giannis is rising up. He is having a great series.
What will Stugatz's reaction be tonight that elicits the larger spit and bile toward the television? Will it be if Chris Paul is playing well, or will it be every time the Deer District is 65,000 strong, four times the capacity of what they put the arena? They are increasing the capacity. Stugatz has been spreaders, and he's been yelling 65,000 people are going to be gathered together outside of that arena. Which will trigger more spit and bile at your television?
Chris Paul choking.
No, I think it's going to be the Deer District because he's going to say doing a game 7 with Chris Paul.
No, I said Devin Booker could do it in a game 7. This is Chris Paul's legacy game right here. It's all on the line right here. Because I believe if Phoenix wins, they will go home and win game 7. I think Devin Booker is so good, and I don't think Milwaukee will bounce back from that. This is the game right here for him. On the road, what did LeBron do with the blueprint on the line? Went on the road in Boston, gave you 40-something points.
That's what you want from Chris Paul tonight?
If he wants to be an all-time great, yes, that's what I want from him.
Jesus. So you want the 45-point game that he gave you
one time.
He gave it to you one time.
In the finals, on the road, must-win game, like LeBron did.
Right, and the winning
LeBron three. LeBron was Eastern Conference Finals.
The winning three has to be an off-balance three, the winning shot.
Shot out his ass.
That's right.
Okay, so that's the standard for an apology tomorrow.
Yeah, go do it.
Totally fair.
The Deer District is probably a super spreader.
Thank you.
Fine. Rob Deer.
What?
Mm-hmm.
Two syllables.
Oh. Excellent.
That was an accident. That was not on purpose. Not on purpose.
Total non sequitur.
That's what the greatness of Cody is. He did not mean that, Chris. You're absolutely right. In fact, it doesn't even make any sense. He only went with the super limited joke of, I heard Deer District, let me say Rob Deer.
Correct.
And that's all he had in his arsenal. That's it happened to be two syllables and a funny 80s baseball player name.
Thank you.
Former Milwaukee Buck Todd Day. But have you seen, look, obviously Delta variant is really bad, especially here in South Florida. Our positivity rate has climbed up over 8%. Now Fox News, or at least, well, some of their hosts, I saw Fox and Friends was like, if you want to die, that is your choice.
Yeah, I heard that too.
That was great. There was a music festival in the Netherlands that had 20,000 attendees, and they thought they were doing everything right. You had to provide a negative test, or you had to have recently recovered from COVID and have proof of that, or you had to be vaccinated. So 20,000 of best case scenario, this should be a place where this virus does not spread, socially distanced to the point they could be, following all sorts of recommendations from their government. And it's now been linked to 1,050 positive cases of COVID-19. So things are bad.
We're going to end up back indoors again, right? We're going to end up, this whole thing is going to again escalate to, no, man, don't tell me that.
Oh, no, we're headed there, Dan.
I am so afraid if I do end up leaving the country about this test that I have to take to come back into the country. Just because I've had coronavirus and I have the vaccine. If I test positive, the likelihood is I'm asymptomatic. So I'll just be going into this test, not really knowing whether or not I have to stay in Mexico for a few days and not see my child.
I mean, we're having an Olympics. Like, people from around the world are all traveling to Tokyo right now for the Olympics.
Are we having an Olympics, Jess? Because there's sort breaking of.
Starting
news.
Starting on Friday, that everyone's already there.
There's breaking news that there could still be a last-minute cancellation of this. It for it being in Tokyo, that place is as likely as any place on the planet to just squash this thing.
There's a no travel to England right now, right?
They would have done it.
No, they can't do it. The contracts are such that it's one of the most amazing things. I don't know that you can have a stronger symbol for what sports greed has been during the pandemic than the emperor of the country telling you we can't do this here and the country not having the power to cancel that contract because the IOC has to get that money. And there's crazy. So much money involved. I don't think that you can have a greater example of how irresponsible we have been about all of this, but specifically in the greed and business of sports, that Japan doesn't want to have this, but they're contractually obligated to get that money. And so we're going to get there, even though Japan has a problem on its hands when it comes to hosting this thing. But hey, Deer District, tonight, 65,000 people, four times the capacity of the stadium, can watch the Milwaukee Bucks win the championship.
This is a story inspired by WNBA legend Simone Augustus. But before we get to her, some context. Last week, while listening to a podcast, I heard someone mention a concept called the Gell-Mann amnesia effect, a term named for famous physicist Murray Gell-Mann and coined by Jurassic Park author Michael Crichton. Here's the definition of the effect, as articulated by the famous author. Quote, you open the newspaper to an article on some subject you know well. In one person's case, maybe physics. In mine, show business. You read the article and see the journalist has absolutely no understanding of either the facts or the issues. Often, the article is so wrong it actually presents the story backward, reversing cause and effect. I call these the wet streets cause rain stories. Paper's full of them. In any case, you read with exasperation or amusement the multiple errors in a story and then turn the page to national or international affairs and read as if the rest of the newspaper was somehow more accurate about Palestine than the baloney you just read. You turn the page and forget what you know. End quote. That's the Gell-Mann amnesia effect. I could conjure numerous examples of this. We all could. It's any conversation in which you're finding yourself saying, actually, it's not that simple. When I first heard this effect described, I immediately flashed to the thousands of sports articles I've read, in which the writer or someone quoted by the writer suggests that women's basketball players have superior fundamentals. They seem to mean this as a compliment, and it's written as if it's an astute and novel observation. Hell, a version of this happened the second time I was ever on this show.
Stugatz was telling you that he enjoyed last night. He watched the women's game more than he watched the men's game. He was also saying something, Kate, that I don't know to necessarily be true. He is saying that the women shooters are better than the men shooters.
Well, Kate, I left a men's game in which one of the teams had 17 points at the half and flipped over to the women's game, which was really, really entertaining. And Paige Beckers has taken step back threes. And that game, aesthetically to me, was more pleasing than the men's game.
As an expert in this particular world, I'll let you in on a little secret. Women's basketball is not more fundamentally sound than men's. It's just not. You have players in each whose athleticism lets them get away with the inferior footwork, players whose athleticism doesn't, and a blend of the two. Women aren't better passers, women don't have better footwork, and women aren't better shooters. They are great at all of these things, just as the top men are. Steph Curry is fundamentally sound, but you rarely hear him described that way, and only that way, because there are too many other, more specific, more illuminating things to say. The way he creates space for his shot, the way he plays the angles, the way he moves off the ball, and on and on. Maybe from the 1,000-foot view, this fundamentals trope doesn't appear to matter. But let's zoom in. And here's where W star Simone Augustus and her legacy inspires. When I was a kid playing hoops, there was this idea that swirled around the game. that showmanship, that spicy handles, that breaking people down off the dribble shouldn't be part of the women's game. This notion seems to have existed for generations, baked into the minds of thousands of players and millions of fans, all born from the aforementioned fundamentals trope. Since you're not exciting, you better be fundamentally sound. Then came Simone Augustus, fresh-faced, bursting onto the scene in the fall of 1999, eyes skyward, smiling big on the cover of Sports Illustrated for Women. Beneath the tag, is she the next Jordan? Meet teen phenom Simone Augustus. And for the next two decades, Augustus laid the foundation for this next generation of players. The Arike Ogunbowales, the Airy McDonalds, the Paige Beckers, the AZ Fuds. 2 months ago, on May 13th, right as the W season started, Augustus announced her retirement from the game. So we actually haven't had a quiet moment to really pause and consider her career, her place in the game. But we do now, as the W goes on a month-long hiatus to make room for the Tokyo Olympics. I've been thinking a lot about Simone's game and what it means and what role she'll play in history. And I think it's this. She destroyed the myth that women must play a certain way, that style and substance can't go hand in hand. Diana Taurasi, WNBA legend, told me recently, while at a car wash, quote, her game validated a lot of people who play like her. You know, back in the day, you got branded in our game if you had handles and you could break people down. This idea of no flash fundamentals was fed to you from an early age. But she proves you can play that way and play on the best teams in the world. You can be the rookie of the year. You can win multiple gold medals. Sometimes you get lost in Simone's style of play, which lends itself to a lot of oohs and ahs and highlights. And what gets lost is what a fierce competitor she is and what a fierce winner and what an amazing teammate she is. As I was thinking of Simone and her game, I began wondering where this fundamentals trope began. Who was the first to trot it out? Was there a ground zero? Felt a little like trying to figure out who first said, blue is the sky. Hasn't that cliche maybe always existed? But a few days ago, I was researching Ann Myers for a separate project, and I landed on a New York Times article from September 13th, 1979. For those of you who just heard me say the name Ann Myers and it sparked nothing, she's the first woman to earn a four-year scholarship, playing basketball for UCLA in the 70s. She went on to marry Dodgers ace Don Drysdale. But here's the reason I was researching Myers. She's the only woman to ever sign an NBA contract. The Indiana Pacers signed her to a one-year $50,000 deal and invited her to its rookie free agent tryout at Hinkle Fieldhouse before the 79-80 season. It was actually amusing reading the reaction of the day. Sports figures going on the record saying things that, even though they weren't incorrect, they probably wouldn't say today. Here, for example, is what ESPN announcer Dick Vitale, then the coach of the Detroit Pistons, told the Times. Quote, I'm known as a showman, but I never would have thought up something like this. There is no way she can play at this level. End quote. Sonny Werblin, at the time the president of Madison Square Garden, was quoted as saying, it's utterly ridiculous. It's disgraceful. I don't think the commissioner should condone it. I think it's bad for the image of pro basketball. It's a travesty, end quote. Myers was 5'9" and 135 pounds, and she was sent home in the second round of cuts by Pacers head coach Bob Leonard, who had tried to persuade Myers not to try out, but who offered this seemingly small kindness to the press after cutting Myers. Quote, I personally feel Ann did a great job from the fundamental standpoint of knowing the game of basketball, end quote. I'm not suggesting this quote from 1979 is the beginning of the fundamentals trope, but it is a relatively early and high-profile example of it, considering Title IX had just been passed a few years earlier in 1972, and women were just starting to carve out their own space in the basketball world. So here we have an NBA coach who didn't want Ann trying out, who knew a woman couldn't compete with the athleticism of men. He wants to say something not mean, something bland, and so he says this. I mean, okay, thank you, Bob Leonard, but that's like complimenting a singer for getting the song's words right. I understand the motivation to say this about women's basketball, but I'm telling you, it's not helpful. It's the basketball equivalent of she has a great personality, which we all know is code for she's not quote unquote hot enough. All it does is call to mind everything she does not have. The things we know culture believes we should value more. Sexiness, beauty, jumping ability. I often say to my wife, I'll know for sure I'm old the first time I go to check my bag at an airport, and the agent says in an unknowingly condescending tone, Now, how can I help you, young lady? Let's just consider the thought process behind this. Ah, here comes an old woman. But I'm going to make her feel warm and fuzzy by referring to her as young. No quicker way to make someone feel old than by highlighting how far they are from being young. Maybe you're thinking no harm, no foul. Better to say something about women's basketball than nothing at all. A couple things. One, nobody ever dove for the remote after being pitched on watching a fundamentally sound game. So actually, this trope does the game a disservice. It's a backhanded compliment that makes the game seem as exciting as a bag of spinach. Oh, look at that stunning jump stop. Both feet, her choice of pivot foot. Play it back. Let me see it again. Two, if we eliminated this bullshit throwaway line and we were all robbed of this verbal crutch and its lame cousins, we'd actually have to consider and think about the women's game a little deeper. And that brings us back to our Gell-Mann amnesia effect. My point is this. You've probably read or heard this fundamentals trope, assumed it was a smart idea. Maybe even, like Stugatz, you fell into it yourself. Just know that when someone says this thing, even seemingly with the best of intentions, everyone inside the game rolls their eyes. So, in honor of Simone Augustus, who was an all-time teammate and an all-time winner, and whose game came with a bounce and a shimmy, let's reach for something better when we talk about women's hoops. Let's reach for something real and true and dynamic, which is just how Simone played.
Don Libertard.
Bench, cheer, that type of stuff. Tom Brady went down with an Achilles the only time he got hurt in his entire career, and I was fist pumping in my living room at home because the Jets finally had a chance to win a division. I mean, I'm sorry. I'm not going to apologize for that.
I'm sorry. I'm not going to apologize for that is one of the most amazing sentences you've ever uttered.
Stugatz.
From the maker of Trust Me, Don't Trust Me comes, I'm sorry, but I'm not going to apologize. You are amazing.
Thank you. I know.
You are a flabbergasting delight. You happen upon genius comedy by accident.
That's my gift.
This is the Don Levitar Show with the Stugatz.
I want to put it past Tokyo to shut it down. There are 71 active cases right now. This is not some far-off problem. There are several marquee athletes on the basketball team with names you all recognize. Bradley Beal is out. Zach LaVine may not be a part of this team
JaVale
anymore.
McGee is an Olympian. JaVale McGee is representing. Wow. If that's not what the pandemic symbol for all of sports is, ladies and gentlemen, we go to Tokyo and we're sending as our championship hood ornament, JaVale McGee.
Rim protector, though, Dan.
It's a lot of lost wages, but I imagine this is also quite insured. Jessica, you know someone quite well that's actually out there covering it right now. I've heard the accommodations. It's kind of like a mental health minefield out there if you want to cover this thing because you're confined to your rooms.
Yeah, basically, you're allowed to go for the first 14 days. You're allowed to be in your hotel and then go to wherever you're covering the event from, whether it's like the stadium, the field, the control room, whatever, and then come straight back. And there's like approved places you can go to get like groceries, like convenience store, like a Walgreens type thing. But that's it. Like, you cannot leave. You're getting tested every day for the first few days. And that's if you're vaccinated. So there's no difference if you're vaccinated or unvaccinated. Of course, a lot of the Americans are vaccinated, but a lot of the international people are not, don't have as high of a vaccination rate.
Japan did such a great job containing the virus initially. Everyone was looking to Japan and South Korea as leaders on this. But you live here in a country in the United States that totally rocked it with vaccine distribution. And we're in the place that we're in right now because of stupidity and ignorance and people's refusal to just admit that they were wrong. And this is totally politically driven because Japan only has a 22% vaccination rate. It is hard to get the vaccine over there. In Western countries, in London, England, you're in a 6-week queue if you want to get your second shot. And right now I'm walking through a Publix that has walk-in vaccine distribution and no one waiting in line. And it's mostly by choice at this point.
Richest country in the world, and we keep solving these things the way that we solve them by throwing money at them. And we led the world in going inside, at least in part, when Rudy Gobert made us all go inside. Sports made us go inside, and we have rushed to all these sports dollars unimpeded here for a while.
It is tricky with the people who are not getting vaccinated, right? Because I'm with, like, for the most part, political reasons, it's stupid. But there are some people who have legitimate concerns about the vaccine. Like, they just don't feel comfortable getting it, right? So it's hard to tell them what they should be doing with their own bodies. I mean, I'd like everyone to get
it. It's not that hard. It's not that hard to tell everybody to get vaccinated unless there are going to be some that you help everybody by doing that. Unless you have some calamitous doctor's ordered symptoms that tell you that it's going to trigger something else. I don't think at this point it's that hard. Hannity is out here. So, guys, how hard is it going to be? Are you going to go? You're going to go to the other side of Hannity's out here trying to get as close as he can to get vaccinated.
I'm saying everyone should, obviously. And the people who aren't doing it for political reasons, you're wrong and you're an idiot. But there are some people who might have legit reasons for not wanting to get that thing.
But there aren't, like, legit reasons anymore. Like, researchers and scientists and doctors have all told us that the benefits of the vaccine far outweigh the minimal risk that you're going to take by getting it. And to Mike's point, it totally sucks. I'm sure there's a lot of listeners who have friends and family who live abroad, who might not be American. And to see people in this country refuse the vaccine when my sister lives abroad and she can't even get one, and we don't know when she'll be able to come home again. Like, it's really hard to see that and to see people who are desperate for it, and we're just saying no.
Greg Cody wrote a column about this for the Miami Herald today. Greg Cody was telling everybody to get vaccinated.
Well, there's a new report out that mentions accurately that unvaccinated people are putting at risk kids under 12 who can't get the vaccine yet. I mean, that's a factor that these people who are unvaccinated need to consider. And what is your reason for not getting vaccinated? It's, at least in this country, we're lucky, it's convenient, it's free, all the science is there. It's a public health matter that affects us all, not just you who choose not to be vaccinated. So I just don't understand. I think there's a selfishness there. It's what Michael Irvin said in being so disappointed that his former Dallas Cowboys aren't one of the most highly vaccinated teams. It's selfishness. That's all it is. I'm not saying it's stupidity, but there is a selfish aspect.
Well, he also said you're not trying to win enough if you don't get vaccinated.
Beasley, Cole Beasley took exception to that. There's going to be a percentage of the population. They might have pre-existing conditions. They might be trying to get pregnant, and they're waiting for more data specific to their circumstances. I think that's fine, because that ultimately makes up a very small number of the percentage of people that are just willingly telling you to your face they don't believe it. There's an embarrassing number of people that believe that there are microchips within this vaccine. And more often than not, it falls across party lines. And I don't get it, because Trump should be out there on the road. I mean, he's going to be hosting these rallies anyways, giving away this vaccine and touting it as the single greatest accomplishment of his presidency. He should call it the Trump vaccine. He should make it a patriotic duty, because obviously his base will buy whatever he sells. So I just don't understand why the messaging, because you're afraid that people are going to tune to Newsmax or tune into OAN, that the messaging isn't get vaccinated, it's have your suspicions, do what you want, but also you may die now. It had to turn on a dime like that because our economy is once again on the precipice of having another shutdown.
How sad did that part of it make you? The specifics of that part of it, that it took the economy dipping, worst day of the year yesterday, for the pivot. That it's that overt, that it's that obvious, just, oh, we're going to grab it. The most important thing is ratings. It's not, that's how he got into power. He's
But you're going to be bothered now with those guys? They've been doing that forever, haven't they?
I mean, the pivot.
Fox News?
The pivot was last night, though. The pivot was
last night.
Hannity last night, on the advice of lawyers, the day after the worst economic day, like the day after, and tucked between, again, as he's still not saying get the vaccine. He's still saying he just take COVID seriously. It's still not, hey, get the jab. He won't go quite that far, but it's pinned, Stugat, specifically. It's pinned the story before it. He criticized a university for mandating, for forcing vaccines. And the story after it was a woman who lost some feeling in her legs because she'd gotten a different vaccine for a month. Come on, Stugatz. Like, how Yeah, I'm going to get mad about that. Yeah, I'm going to get mad about that now because of everything Mike is saying, that this everything that's happening in this country, in this world, is a byproduct of us always fertilizing this selfishness as we're celebrating rockets going into space with billionaires and we're the richest country in the world. And the guy who just flew that plane, if that money was that rocket, if that money was poured into not being selfish or even just taxes, like that would all feel a lot different. Yeah. Today is the day I'm getting mad about that, because that overtly they pivoted with lawyers, because of lawyers and because of the economy. And still, he won't just say it. He won't say, don't die, get the vaccine. We're better as a united country. We're the richest country in the world. Everybody can get it over here. They can't everywhere else in the world. They still won't say it. Not even with the economy and the public pressure of lawyers. Come on, man.
Dugatz here for my friends over at Simply Safe. Springtime is all about fresh air, fresh starts, and freshly cleaned homes. And it's the perfect time to give a fresh look at Simply Safe Home Security, the only home security system I use and recommend. I've had it in my home for many, many years. I love it. Springtime to me, we love to travel. And I love the fact that no matter where I am in the world, I can keep an eye on my home thanks to Simply Safe Home Security. Simply Safe blankets your whole home in protection. It has sensors to detect break-ins, fires, floods, and more, plus a variety of indoor and outdoor cameras to keep watch over your property day and night. It's backed by 24/7 professional monitoring for less than a dollar a day. Simply Safe has given me and many of my listeners real peace of mind. I want you to have it too. Get 20% off your system today when you sign up for Fast Protect monitoring at simplysafe.com/DLB. That's simplysafe.com/DLB. There's no safe like Simply Safe.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.